Streaming sponsored by the Madison Concourse Hotel.
Celebrate New Year's Eve at the Madison Concourse Hotel and Governor's Club. Enjoy live jazz, a surf and turf dinner, comedians, disco with BO5, classic country, a DJ dance party, and a ballroom brunch to start 2025 off right. Details at concoursehotel.com.
Workers, ABC's Jim Ryan looks at new studies.
The great resignation that came during the pandemic has given way to what economists are calling the great stay. The ZipRecruiter survey of 2,000 companies finds predictions of a sharp decline in turnover in the coming year, with credit going to improve salaries, benefits, and work-life balance. But a separate survey by Glassdoor finds that turnover rates might be falling because workers feel stuck in their current jobs.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken made a visit to Iraq on his trip to the Middle East. He maintains the U.S. is determined to prevent the return of ISIS because of the new power vacuum in Syria after the collapse of Bashar Assad's government. McKinsey agreed to pay $650 million as part of a deferred prosecution agreement over allegations it helped Purdue Pharma sell more OxyContin despite knowing the dangers and risks. This is ABC News. Thousands of Syrians celebrating the end of the Assad regime. ABC Chief International Correspondent James Longman has the latest from Damascus.
On this day of Friday prayer, it is a real celebration because for the vast majority of people here, they've never known anything other than the Assad regime. In fact, this is the first Friday since 1971 that there hasn't been an Assad in power. The celebration, the joy, the jubilation, the new flag of Syria. It was the revolutionary flag for so long, but suddenly, in a matter of weeks, after years and years of struggle, the revolution succeeded.
One of the discoveries after Assad and his family fled the country, a warehouse full of the drug Captagon. The Assad government also turned to drug sales to raise cash. And a guilty plea from country superstar Morgan Wallen. I need something you prove. Judge ordering him to spend 7 days at a DUI education center after Wallen threw a chair off the roof of a Nashville bar. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
You work hard. Making the right choice for lunch isn't hard. The Phoenix Center opens at 11 Monday through Sunday with all your lunchtime favorites. Burgers, salads, terrific appetizers, specialty sandwiches, wraps, and more. Easy in, easy out. The Phoenix Center is the perfect way to break up the day. Can't get away for lunch? Let the team at the Phoenix Center serve you a great meal tonight, including the world-famous Phoenix Center Pizza. Call ahead at 649-7469 for carryouts from the Phoenix Center in Richland Center.
Hello, this is Nick Hodge with the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet. Thinking about your loved one's funeral leaves most people feeling a little uneasy, but pre-planning funerals offers great emotional and even financial security for you and your family. With pre-planning, families find comfort in knowing that the funeral reflects what their loved one wanted. It also gives them peace of mind not having to make important decisions at a stressful time.
Your WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is brought to you by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765 and find out how you can buy a house without needing 20% down.
A high in the upper teens today with sunshine and east winds at 4 to 8 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy, a slight chance of freezing rain and sleet. Late, a low of 15. Breezy and cold, areas of light freezing rain Saturday and sleet, possibly mixing with mostly rain in the afternoon. A high of 36. A mix of light rain, sleet, and a little snow Saturday night. Fog possible, a low of 32. Sunday, fog and drizzle possible early. Otherwise, mostly cloudy and mild. Another chance of light rain showers late Sunday night and a high of 41.
Hard to believe that Christmas is only a couple of weeks away, right? But there's still plenty of time to find incredible gift deals because Macy's Friends and Family Sale is happening now. What does that mean? It means when you use your coupon or Macy's card, you can take 15% off the best beauty gifts, just like friends and family can. That's 15% off designer fragrance gift sets, 15% off makeup, 15% off skincare routines. It's just this week. It's just what you've been waiting for, and it's only at Macy's. Savings off regular prices. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is Daniel Miller, Oak Hooch Books and Libations. Since 2003, 22 years, Oak Hooch Books and Libations. We wrap everything, even you, but come by anyway, even if you don't want something wrapped, and Oak Hooch Books will be here for you through Christmas. Oak Hooch Books and Libations, 130 South Main.
Here's a hint. At U.S. Cellular, you can get 4 free phones and 4 lines for $90 a month. So you can give your family the gift of connection.
Okay, but what about the gift of good-smelling soap?
They buy their own soap. They want 4 free phones.
What if I gave them kitchen tools?
4 free phones.
Well, how about a cozy sweater?
4 free phones.
Maybe I'll get...
4 free phones.
4 free phones.
That's how you take a hint. Get 4 free phones and 4 lines for $90 a month. U.S. Cellular. Built for us. Terms apply. Visit uscellular.com for details.
Our personal service includes savings. Hi, this is Julie at State Farm. We're always looking for ways to bring you more value and convenience. That includes opportunities to save. For example, a savings may be available to those who choose to bundle a State Farm auto policy with a homeowner's policy. Lower premiums may apply if you have a new home or an older home with completely updated utility systems. Let's talk about the homeowner's insurance choices that make sense for you today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Furniture, Decor, and More in Boscobel and Westby invites you to help the less fortunate this holiday season. Now through December 24th, bring 10 non-perishable food items to help local food pantries in the area and get a 10% discount on your entire purchase. Free financing available. Furniture, Decor, and More in Boscobel and Westby invites you to help the less fortunate this holiday season. Now through December 24th, bring 10 non-perishable food items to help local food pantries in the area and get a 10% discount on your entire purchase. Free financing available.
Richland Family Restaurant Studios, now seating with no wait times. Try something different, a combination of country and community.
Welcome to our morning show from WRCO Radio. Today, we have more community conversation, and it's great to talk about the Richland District today, our monthly visit with Steve Board, district superintendent. We're talking about many things going on and lots of positives. The winter brings all kinds of great extracurriculars, Steve.
Doesn't it, though? And first of all, you know, I hope that you and your family and all the folks that are listening had a wonderful and safe Thanksgiving. And of course, the holidays are right around the corner, and this is always kind of a unique time in schools, right? There's like this 3-week window between this mini Thanksgiving break and a lot of things going on there as we transition from fall to winter. And then all of a sudden we're into December and Christmas lights and Christmas festivities and concerts and all of those things are kind of going full swing as well, which, you know, part of our extracurriculars, we've got a very robust music system. And, you know, from the intermediate school had their holiday concert last night to I attended a holiday concert with a band earlier this month. The choir has done a lot of great things. And it's just a fun, festive time to be a student at Richland Center in the Richland School District, as well as just being a community member. There's a lot of cool things going on that if you want just something to do, there's a lot of different things from sporting events to wrestling tournaments on the weekends to concerts at night and a lot of things in between. So a lot of things to keep our community busy and showcase the wonderful talents that our school district has.
One of the fun tie-ins with extracurriculars is, and I witnessed it the other night, I was at the girls' game broadcasting, but when your choir steps forward and sings the national anthem, and it brings in not only members of the student body who are there just as fans, but members of the team and cheerleaders, and that's always so impressive to see that.
It's impressive, it's unique, it's really something special, and you're right. Tuesday night, I got a chance to watch some of the members of the basketball team come out of the team huddle and join the choir, you know, and then last night I attended a game and the pep band was there and they had kind of a drumline performance going on as part of their pep band. It was so impressive. There must have been, you know, a dozen different drummers going on as well as all the folks in the stands, and just a very impressive band and choir that we've got in our district. We're so fortunate. And that's not just Liz Niemeyer with the choir and Jeff Behrens with the high school band, but that's also their feeder programs, right? It's Pam Peterson-Kintz in the 7th and 8th grade, Sierra Calabria with the intermediate school students, Cammie Clary all the way down to the elementary. That foundation that they've built is really a nice pipeline. I mean, when they reach high school, their talents are just... It is so impressive to watch the number of people that we have and the talent that they've got with those performances. It's incredible.
Moving to the classroom, recently they released test scores for the district, and they were up. It sounded like things were going pretty well.
Yeah, we are so proud of our staff and our students and the commitment that our families have made towards really diving into academics. I had shared with our staff a year ago, last December of 2023, at a staff meeting, I had shared our academic test scores and how we were performing against the other 30 school districts in CESA 3, which is a cooperative in Southwest Wisconsin. And when we looked at, third grade reading, ELA, and math, as well as eighth grade ELA, English Language Arts, and math, we were number 31 out of 31 in those areas as just these standardized tests. So we knew we had a lot of improvement that we had to make. And of course, 2023 data would have actually been the 22-23 school year. So we've had some time. We've known that we've needed some improvement on this. Our district report cards, 2 years ago, we were below expectations, okay, as a district, which is essentially a two out of five star, two star being below expectations, three star being meets expectations, four star exceeds expectations. And we were a two star in 2022 district report card. And so, when I took over as superintendent, I tried to be very honest with people. Like, here are the struggles that we're having. We have an open enrollment out problem. We have to address this. We have a student achievement problem. We've got to address this. And so we've really put a lot of focus on these things. And, things don't change overnight, right? It takes time. And sometimes it's hard to see the gains from day to day. But when we get snapshots from the district report cards or school student achievement test scores, that's really where we can compare really good data, okay, and really comparing apples to apples. So again, 2022, we were below expectations as a district, okay, and we were below expectations as a Richland Center High School, and we met expectations in the Richland Center Intermediate School. Our primary school, we don't start the state does not start standardized tests until students get into third grade, and so we don't have a district report card score for the primary school, all right, so it's the intermediate school and the high school. Fast forward 2 years ago, or to 2 years, and our latest report card scores that came out right before Thanksgiving, our intermediate school went from meets expectations to exceeds expectations. So they went from a three-star to a four-star. Our high school went from a two-star, below expectations, to a four-star, exceeding expectations. And our district as a whole went from below expectations to, again, a four-star, exceeding expectations. So for us to be able to turn around things that quickly and really show significant growth by promoting and emphasizing the student achievement, that to me is incredible. And that shows tremendous staff buy-in and tremendous work by, our students and our families and making this all work. Because, in the end, you are what you emphasize, right? That's true in sports. It's true in life. It's true in school. Right. And so when we have placed a conscious emphasis on student achievement and trying to really dig down into what we want our students to learn, and this is a result of the PLCs, the early releases that we have on Wednesdays. It's a result of the curriculum pilot program that started at the high school. It's a result of all of our teachers getting more buy-in into outdated curriculum. Dr. Sherry Johnson has taken a tremendous lead into all of this. But now we see some of the results, and going from a district that truly was underperforming to now a district that the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction deems as exceeding expectations is incredible. And when we look at some of our rankings around the area, again, in our Southwest Conference, right, that's always a good comparative group because it's schools in Southwest Wisconsin, Platteville, Lancaster, Prairie, Dodgeville, River Valley. These are schools in Southwest Wisconsin that are very similar to Richland School District, generally the same kind of enrollment, generally the same kind of socioeconomic challenges that we face in rural Wisconsin, dead last, okay? And this year, We are number two for our high school, okay, out of the six schools, just a little bit behind River Valley, making great strides. And we were number one in student growth, okay? And so when we look at where our students were and the gains that they made over the last couple of years, number one in school growth. Intermediate school, 2 years ago, we were fifth out of sixth. We're up to third in our conference for the intermediate school. And again, number two in growth. And so you can really see where our test scores have improved because our student growth has been so big. And again, that's a direct result of Dr. Sherry Johnson and the work that she's done, as well as our staff buy-in on really focusing on student achievement. Just so proud of where we're at academically. But I also want to say we still have a ways to go, right? We are not settling on this. We want to continue to strive to be the best school district around, the best academically, and give our students the best opportunity to be successful after they graduate from Richland Center High School.
When do they typically test for those scores, Steve?
Yep. We test throughout the year as we get baseline data, and then in the spring there are the big standardized tests, usually a window that opens up in April, and that's when our students, as well as many other students across the state, are doing all of their testing.
Okay, and so that's certainly a win. That might be the highlight of the year.
I tell you, I don't want to underestimate it, because it is truly something special, and it may be the highlight of the year, and for us to be able to turn it around so quickly is really just again, kudos to all involved. I get to kind of reap the rewards of all the success, right? But you know, really, there are so many people that are in the trenches that are doing this on a daily basis, and just so fortunate to be part of such a great group of people.
I think we're over the hump a little bit. You know, the COVID year has certainly set people back. Virtual learning, you know, you did the best you could, but, you know, that was a struggle as well.
It certainly was, you know, and so I think that's probably why we focused on growth as much as anything, because coming out of COVID, and I'm sure a lot of school districts saw this, but coming out of COVID, you know, students did, they did have some academic loss, right? That summer slump became kind of a COVID slump, right? It extended that first year of COVID. Many school districts, you know, just stopped school around the 1st of April or middle of March, I guess is what it actually was. And then even that next year, many school districts, including our own, had some hybrid version, right? I mean, we went to school 4 days a week, Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. But even then, you know, we're masked. We had to have social distancing. We couldn't have the interactions that we normally have, which are extremely vital to a student's success and wanting to be in school and developing relationships with, you know, the adults and their peers and things like that. That all plays a factor in a student's ability to learn and grow. And so it took us a while to get out of that. Again, it did many districts, but for us to see the growth that we've had and for us to know that the Richland School District has grown at a faster pace than almost all other school districts around, if not all other school districts around, that's something special, because that is really what we were trying to emphasize.
Recently in the news, we talked about school board elections coming up. In fact, a couple of openings, you know, potentially in the spring, it sounds like.
Yeah, we've got, you know, every spring we have a couple of seats that are open. This next spring will be no exception. We've got two seats that are open for the Richland School Board, and anyone who's interested in you know, putting their name in and getting on the ballot, you know, you should reach out to myself or Laura Steele in the district office. But we've got a city seat, right? So somebody who they have to live in the city of Richland Center. That's a specific seat that's currently held by Neil Huntemer. Mr. Huntemer has already declared that he will not be running in April, so that there will not be an incumbent on that ballot. And so we know that we're definitely going to be looking for one person to take that seat, and that there will be a new member on our school board come next April in the city. The other seat that we have is an area west of Richland, the city of Richland Center, the townships to the west of their school district. It's currently held by Aaron Unbehan. Aaron is our board president right now. I believe that he is intending on running again, but again, anybody who's interested that lives in that area, certainly can do so. So this is a unique year from an election cycle because these two seats are specific to specific areas. We have to have people that are living in those areas. The other 2 years in this kind of three-year cycle that board members have, there's always one at-large opening, right? So anybody, regardless of where they live, can look to run for those. But this particular one is that every third year, we've just got two seats that open up, and they have to be specific to certain areas. So again, a city seat and one to the area of the west of the city of Richland Center, which isn't entirely true that it's to the west of Highway 80 that runs north and south, but that's a general guideline. And if you're close to Highway 80 and you're on the east side, and you're interested in running, I would encourage you to reach out and we can let you know if you're eligible for that seat or not. So deadlines for that, January 7th at 5 p.m. or when all of the paperwork needs to be turned back in. It's a relatively simple, painless process. There's no petitions that you need to sign or anything like that. We can help you fill out the forms, but they do have to be back into the district office by 5 p.m. on January 7th, which will mean that you want to allow a little bit of time to pick it up, get any questions that you have answered, fill out the information that is required, and get it back in time. And then your name would be on the ballot for an April election.
The district will be closed, I'm guessing, over the holidays, select days?
Yeah, the district will be closed on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, so the 24th and 25th, as well as New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, the 31st and then January 1st. And the district will be open the rest of those days in between. And even though there's no school, someone will certainly be there during normal business hours.
All right. Steve Board, our guest here on the morning show from WRCO, as we talk about Richland School District. And I want to talk a little bit, too, about your collaboration with not only the city of Richland Center, but the county, the district, working with those two entities as well?
Yeah. We've got a great relationship with both of those two entities right now. We've been working hand in hand with those entities. It started off as a collaboration with the school and the city, specifically the police department as part of the city, to get a community resource officer in our building. Officer Wilson is in our buildings every day, and what a valuable resource that is, and what a tremendous benefit it is, and it's been such a positive benefit. You know, initially when that happened, I think there were some skepticism that, you know, you're going to put a cop in the schools. You know, what image does that portray? But it has been nothing but positive. I have not heard any negatives that have come from this. Not only from those extreme discipline cases and having somebody right there to provide some safety and intervention right away, but also from a benefit standpoint of having good interactions with our students with a member of our law enforcement. And I just have to believe that pays huge dividends in our community and having that positive relationship. But that particular collaboration that started kind of between the city and the school district then kind of transformed into adding the county involved in it. And, you know, we did a community forum here about a year ago as the school district was letting people know about the referendum that was coming up, and the county had some campus reconfigurations that they wanted to talk about. The city had some updates. We did that down at the bowling alley. We've been continuing to meet with those three entities and really trying to really let our community know how closely those three entities are working together. And I believe we're going to try to do another community forum here in January or early February and try to give some updates to the community. School district may not necessarily have a huge role, but we're certainly going to be a part of it, right? We're not pitching a referendum, but we're certainly there to support and provide an update to our community about what's going on. The school and Simons has been working very closely together. Mike Hardy is the director over at Simons, and we are working to try to develop a better relationship to try to offer some swimming lessons to our students, perhaps in third grade as early as next school year, trying to provide some lifeguarding classes for our high schoolers, potentially as early as next school year, and to try to have that collaboration. And again, when there was some talk about, you know, the school and what would it do if, you know, it had Simons and those kinds of things. And again, they were all just ideas, but from ideas come some really, really good realities. And that's one of the things that's happening. I kind of pitched the idea of, wouldn't it be cool if we could get every second or third grader to have swimming lessons in our school district so that every kid, when they graduated from Richland Center High School, knew how to swim, right? Well, just something that they can do for the rest of their life. And be able to have a curriculum where we develop lifeguards within our school district, and then those lifeguards that are being trained in high school can be part of the swimming lessons that our second and third graders are teaching, right? And so now we've got a peer mentorship going on with our 9th, 10th, 11th grade students and our, you know, second, third grade students. But then also the benefit that the county and the city has by having more employability, more employment opportunities for those students as they try to find people to be lifeguards at the Woodman Aquatic Center during the summer or Simons during the course of the school year. So I just think that that's a great benefit. And so that idea kind of came about. Mike Hardy and I have been working together. He's trying to write a grant to provide some transportation and offset some of the costs. But that's something that we want to try to do as early as next school year. We're adding it to our course curriculum guides. And I just think, again, that community partnership, having these entities all work together and truly working together, right? Not just putting on a smiling face and in front of people, but truly, truly behind the scenes working together and having a good relationship. That's great for our community. And I'm excited about that opportunity. I'm excited about continuing to collaborate with the county and the city as we expand, whether it's the CRO or working together with the referendum projects or the county on what we can do with Simons. We're working with the county on an MOU to get use of the gym. I believe that that's close to getting wrapped up. We need some gym space at our high school now that we've got our 7th through 12th graders up there, 7th and 8th graders up there joining our 9th through 12th graders. It's right next door. It's a, you know, beautiful facility. It's being unused for the most part right now. And so, again, it just makes sense to have a collaboration that can go on where it can get used. We can benefit from it. Our taxpayers have already paid for those buildings, so why not put them to use by other taxpaying entities? So I'm excited about the progress that we're making. I know Mayor Coppernall and Ashley Oliphant at the city and Candace Pesch and Derek Kalish at the county and everybody in between just has played such a vital role in helping make all that together. And I'm appreciative of the relationships that we have with them.
Yeah, there's been some talk about the school and the gym. And certainly, if that did belong to the school, it would be kind of a huge undertaking as far as money, right?
Yeah. You know, I listened to the county report, and they certainly can speak to it more accurately than I can, but I believe a couple million dollars is what it would take to bring that up to code, bring that up to current standards. I don't know exactly what it would all intake. School district doesn't, you know, necessarily have that kind of money to, we just ask the taxpayers for referendum dollars, you know, so we would have to figure out some way to be able to bring that up to code. But again, I don't know that any one entity has to take that on entirely by themselves, right? If the county and the city and the school and any other entities can work together and we can find viable ways to keep resources like Simons, like the gym in our community, right? It doesn't have to belong to the school district. It doesn't have to belong to the city. It doesn't have to belong to the county, but can't it belong to the community in some fashion and allow our community an opportunity to use these valuable resources and not just come up with a Band-Aid for the short term, but come up with a true sustainable option to keep these things in our community.
You and I have a soft place in our heart for that building. I know you began your coaching career there, and I broadcast a lot of games there over the years.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to see a reunion there sometime, to actually have a varsity game there.
It really would, right? It would be. It's a sentimental. I went to school there. I met some of my dearest friends, right? You know, the best man at my wedding I met at UW-Richland campus, you know, and so, and I tell, you know, my kids, as Ella went off to college, I was like, there's a great chance you're going to meet somebody the first week of college that's going to end up being in your wedding, right? I mean, that's what that does, and that's certainly some of the relationships that I have, and I just think about how much that campus impacted my personal life, from the relationships that I have to what I ended up doing. I mean, that did catapult my coaching career. I coached the women's basketball team for 3 years out there. There's still a trophy, you know, for our first conference championship in that case, which, you know, I hope that those things are considered as well, you know,
right,
as they figure out what they're going to do with it. There's a lot of people when it was back in the teacher college to the early days of UW-Richland, that there's a lot of memorabilia in there that I'm sure a lot of people in our community would not want it to go to waste. But But anyway, then that coaching catapulting into the high school coaching that I did for so many years, and then that led me to a career in education and ultimately where I'm at right now. So it all started at UW-Richland.
Here we are today on the morning show with us. Steve Board is our guest. We'll have more coming up in a moment.
Furniture, decor, and more in Boscobel and Westby invites you to help the less fortunate this holiday season. Now through December 24th, bring 10 non-perishable food items to help local food pantries in the area and get a 10% discount on your entire purchase. Free financing available. Furniture, decor, and more in Boscobel and Westby invites you to help the less fortunate this holiday season. Now through December 24th, bring 10 non-perishable food items to help local food pantries in the area and get a 10% discount on your entire purchase. Free financing available. This holiday season, the team at Rockwell Automation extends their warmest wishes to everyone in Richland Center and beyond. May your days be filled with joy, laughter, and cherished moments with loved ones. From their family to yours, Rockwell Automation wishes you a happy holidays and reminds you to stay safe during your travels this festive season. Happy holidays from Rockwell Automation in Richland Center, Wisconsin.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Lynette from the Prescription Center. We want to thank all of our longtime friends who have put their trust in us to manage their family's health. We want to thank our increasing number of new friends who have learned just how special we treat our friends. We do realize you can go anywhere or use mail order. We want you to choose us every day. We know copays are the same for any pharmacy in town. However, we feel we provide a superior value for your dollars. If you find our prices higher, we will match prices for all medications. We check to see if any of your prescriptions have dollar off coupons from the manufacturer. These coupons actually put money back in your pocket. If your current pharmacy does not do this, give us a call. We know your time is valuable. When you call ahead, your prescriptions are ready when you stop. I guarantee you will never wait in our drive-thru. Okay, we do not have a drive-thru. The Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
Ho, 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 Santa Kenny here. Christy Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe will be open Monday, December 23rd and Tuesday, December 24th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pre-order your Christmas cookies, pies, and cakes by December 18th. Not sure what to get? A gift card makes a perfect stocking stuffer. Stop in, order online, or give us a call. Christy Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe, where every day is sunny. Hey, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Boarding House Antiques in Richland Center, where you can treasure hunt in 17 rooms of antiques and gifts. There's live music at the Garden Stage every second Friday of the month, June through September. Tammy and Margie invite you to visit Tuesday through Saturday. Check out the historic Boarding House Antiques. Check them out on Facebook and their webpage. They buy antiques. 339 West Seminary Street in Richland Center, next to the depot.
What's a corn farmer's favorite dog?
A husky.
Some things shouldn't be flat.
But with GHX, you can maximize your acres with one flat price. While other brands sell by the bag, we sell seed by the acre to maximize your yield and profit potential. Our custom seed recommendations combine extensive product characterization and agronomic expertise to get the right product, population, and placement, all for one flat price per acre. Learn how at ghxseed.com/connect.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit outdoorstewards.org.
Welcome back to our morning show studios today. Steve Board is here from the Richland School District as we talk about things, how fast the school year goes. Here we are, you know, semester is going to end not too far down the road.
It is crazy how fast it has gone. You know, I mean, you think about it wasn't that long ago. You know, we're in the middle of July and we're talking about getting ready for super registration and then the start of school. And then all of a sudden homecoming week hits and I don't even know where October went, right? I mean, it just flew by and then all of a sudden Thanksgiving break. And now, you know, we literally have 5 days next week of school and then Christmas break and it'll be 2025. I mean, it is flown by. It's crazy how fast things go. I think things go a little faster when things are going well as well. You know, so
yeah, that could be.
I think that there is, you know, we've had a good year and knock on wood, I hope we continue to do so, but it's good to be a Hornet right now.
So you're out of school. Next Friday's your last day.
Friday's our last day, yep. And then students will have that entire week from the 23rd, that entire week off. And then they'll come back on Thursday, January 2nd. Not ideal to come back for 2 days, but, you know, we also didn't want to be going into school, you know, until June 10th or something like that. So it is nice just looking at the next couple of years. Our board did recently approve the 25-26 and 26-27 calendars. One of the goals that we were trying to get out of there was, you know, we wanted to keep this Wednesday early release time because, again, the direct result on our academic improvements and things like that are coming from that collaboration that we get on Wednesday afternoons. But we really kind of wanted the best of everything, right? We wanted to continue to maintain a full week of spring break, which was something we were able to do. We wanted to have the early releases on Wednesday. Teachers had asked for the ability to have an extra day of in-service before students got here just to get ready for things and to get some of the training so it's not quite so crammed. We were able to do that. And the biggest ask and probably the biggest change was they really wanted to get out before June 1st, right? They wanted to get out in the month of May. And we were able to do that. And so our next two-year calendars, 25-26 and 26-27, our students will be done before May 31st on both of those years, maintaining a full week of spring break, maintaining our traditional schedule. So I'm excited about that. I think people will enjoy that as we get into those years. And they can now look and figure out if they've got a student that's going to graduate here in the next couple of years, when graduation will be. They can start making plans for vacations over spring break, things like that. So, but I'm excited about the upcoming calendar and being done in May, starting as early as next year.
Can the weather affect that, though, if you miss a bunch of days?
Yeah, that's a good point. We've got some days built in. Certainly, we always have. We've looked at some historical data and, you know, realized that on average, we lose the equivalent of about, you know, 3 or 4 days a year. Obviously, that can come from 3 or 4 early releases or late starts that kind of equate to 1 full day as we have 2 hours chipped off at the end or just an entire cancellation. But those calendars still have a good amount of time built in, about 4+ days at all of our grades. So sure, if we get just one of those winters where we've got 6, 7, 8, you know, cancellations due to weather, inclement weather, then that certainly could impact us a little bit and maybe forced to go a little bit more. But as it sits right now, I think we're in a good spot.
Enrollment, there's a positive there that came out this week, too.
Yeah, enrollment's been a key point, something that we've really tried to focus on. I mentioned it earlier in our broadcast here today that, you know, I didn't want to just not address the elephant in the room when it come to our enrollment. We had, the Richland School District had an open enrollment out problem, right? And I think that that's fair to say. And I think it was important for us to recognize and say out loud. And I will continue to say that we were losing too many students to that live in our district to other districts. And it was having an impact on our culture as well as our finance and our ability to just do things. And so that was a conscious effort that we're trying to make this year. From a board standpoint, they're trying to retain 80% of our students. We were at 75%, and so a 5% increase. Administratively, we knew this was going on, so we've been working on diligently behind the scenes on trying to improve that and improve the offerings. That's a direct result of leading to some of our alternative education options that we have, whether it be the partner school or the school within the school with the RC program or the hiring of a bilingual ELA and math teacher for any families that don't have great English skills, and be able to still be included in school and involved in school and learn in school with student achievement. Just continuing to try to find ways. We've got an off-campus alternative education program for some students. Our GED options continue to exist. Our ROA options continue to exist. So a lot of different options for students in an effort to try to keep them part of our school district. So just some recent data that came out last year, 2023, fall of 2023, we did our third Friday, official third Friday count. And at that count, we had 269 students that were living in our resident that were going to school elsewhere at another public school, right? They were open enrolling out. 269 students. We had about 95, I believe, was the number of students coming in. Excuse me. We had 89, I believe, students coming in. Our third Friday count numbers, we had now reduced that to 251. So we had got 18 more students coming back to our district, and we had increased our open enrollment in numbers to about 95. But it didn't stop with just the third Friday and September count. We've continued to make that a conscious effort, continuing to try to promote and try to find options for students that best suit. We're continuing to move that trend. We're now down to 247 for open enrollment out students. Still a lot of open enrollment out students, okay? But going from 269 down to 247 in a matter of about a year and continuing to make that improvement is encouraging. Open enrollment out, I believe, or excuse me, in are now up to, I believe, 99. And so when you factor in all of those things and you look at our goal of going from 75% retaining students to 80%, where are we at? We're at 78.9, okay? And so we're getting close, right? And we're moving in the right direction. And I don't know if we'll be able to reach the 80% mark next year, but I know that we need to continue to put a major emphasis on retaining our students that are living in the residence of Richland School District, not just the city of Richland Center, but the townships that incorporate the Richland School District. We've got a lot of great offerings for students. We've got a lot of options for students, and we're excited about them coming back. We've definitely seen an increase in students. We expected an overall enrollment decline just because of the graduating class last year and the incoming class coming in. We actually went up in number of students this year. So very excited about the open enrollment numbers trending in the right direction. But again, much like student achievement, while the numbers are heading in the right direction and we're excited and we're going to applaud that, we're not going to rest on our laurels either. We have to continue to make that a conscious effort and continue to improve and continue to do the things that we're doing and tweak things along the way to modify things the best interests of our families.
How does the homeschool process work? Now, let's say a homeschool student uses the district for like an extracurricular, like a band or something like that. Do you get credit for those students?
They become a part-time student.
Part-time?
State law allows them in the high school level to take two courses if they're a homeschooled student. And so they can come in for a band or a choir or an AP course or just any course that they want. A course is kind of defined for us because we do have some classes that have, they're called skinnies, they're 45 minutes, and then we have some that are blocks that are 90 minutes. Our policies define a course as a 45-minute period of instruction. So if a homeschool student was in an AP bio class, for instance, that's maybe a 90-minute block, that one class constitutes both of their courses because it's two 45-minute sections. And so that's what we go by. We're actually trying to work on ways right now. Dr. Sherry Johnson and I are trying to work on ways to address the homeschool and see if we can do something that might benefit our homeschool students as part of the public school district as well. We're looking at modeling some ideas off of Nakusa. Wisconsin Rapids kind of had a unique system where homeschool students can join the public school, but essentially continue to do the same curriculum that they're doing at home, but it's paid for by the school district. It kind of becomes a mutually beneficial because the families don't have to pay for the curriculum and the school district can get funding and provide some resources for those families as well. We're also looking at a model that Alaska has, very early stages of it, but Alaska has a unique model because of the daylight constraints that they have in Alaska during the winter months. They have a very robust homeschooled system. They just can't get kids to school. And so the homeschool system becomes an option. And so we're looking at, are there things that Alaska is doing that we can do in the Richland School District? And so I guess the bottom line is just continuing to try to be forward thinking, solution based, future focused, and trying to be innovative in ways to address the needs of our local community. And that doesn't mean that they have to be ideas that I came up with or that somebody comes up with. If somebody else is doing it really, really well, it's a little bit like when I was coaching, right? If I'm going against a team and they're doing something really well that I can steal, I'm doing that, mm-hmm. right? Well, it's kind of the same thing. If another school district is doing something really well and really innovative that we can learn from and apply that to our local school district, then I'm all for it, right? And in the end, we're all in this for the same reasons. We're all in this to educate students, to provide our students with an opportunity to be successful once they get out into the real world and be a viable part of our communities and contribute to society. So I'm happy to play a part of it, and I'm happy to steal from other school districts if they've got great ideas.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the best interest is the students' education and that kind of thing, but I think you have to be forward-thinking in that profession. You also have to roll with the flow and continue to change, even though that's hard for us sometimes.
Oh, right? Boy, that is really hard. It's hard for us individually. It's hard for us just as families, but you're 100% correct. If you are not someone who can change on the fly, then education isn't for you. I mean, as a teacher, I mean, you have to be able to just think on your feet and things change. You know, you can be planning the best lesson possible and have, this is the one that's going to engage every single student. And you spend all weekend getting your classroom ready to have this great lesson. Then you find out on Monday morning, like, oh, we're going to have a fire drill at 12:30. And that's right during your class. And it's like, all right, you
disrupt.
Just roll with the punches. So yeah. It's just, it is what it is. But again, we've got a great staff. They're always willing to do that. But as education in general, right? Things change. They change sometimes for the good. Sometimes they change from grunt work and struggles. Sometimes it's politically driven. Sometimes it's financially driven. Sometimes it's locally driven. A lot of different factors coming into public education. But in the end, when you peel it all back and you just get down to, what are we doing? We're a public school. We educate all students, right? Regardless of name, economic status, race, religion, beliefs, sexual orientation, whatever it is, we are a public school and we're here to educate the students that are part of our public. And that's our job, right? And that's our job as educators. And as adults, I've said this before, we just never underestimate the ability to have an impact on a young person's life, but also anyone's life, right? And it's a phenomenal opportunity. It's the toughest job you'll ever love. It truly is.
Right. District residents should know the referendum dollars are hard at work. You've been working on some construction things and some ideas for the future too.
Yeah, we are 100% through the design phase of the primary school. And again, next summer, that's going to be where the majority of work is done as we started really examining. And I say we, this is a huge team of people, the engineers and people a heck of a lot smarter than I am doing this sort of thing. The primary school and those sinking classrooms just continued to be like, this is something that we have to address and something that we have to address now. When we got into that, the scope of that, what we thought was going to affect two classrooms ultimately affected four classrooms, which doubled that particular scope and magnitude. And so when we went out for bid, and we had 14 scopes of work that were going to be bid, from HVAC to asphalt to general construction to roofing to electrical and everything in between. 14 scopes. Our buildings and property looked at those bids that came in. We were extremely excited about the competitive bids that we got. Bids came in. We were expecting bids to come in as high as $1.5 million over budget. And that was because of the increased magnitude and scope of these classrooms that we had to shore up. They came in about $400,000 over budget, which, you know, I know that that sounds like a lot, but that is awesome, right? For us to be able to increase the scope and come in $400,000 over budget. And the reason it's awesome is because we had a $900,000 savings from the high school roofing project that we did as part of the referendum this past summer. So when you look at all of our construction that we've done right now or have bid out, we're $500,000 under budget. And that's really the bottom line. We might be over a little bit at the primary, under a little bit at the roofing. Those kinds of things are all going to kind of play out. When you just get it down to brass taxes, where are we at from construction and the project? We're about $500,000 under budget. We haven't touched our contingencies. We haven't touched any bond proceeds. And so we are really, really confident that we're going to be able to completely do this project exactly as we promised the taxpayers and probably with a little under budget. And that will allow us to either get some additional projects done that maybe didn't quite make the referendum list, but still are right up there in the priority list, or maybe not borrow as much money and give a little tax relief to the taxpayers.
Indeed. Speaking of which, tax bills will be coming out as
tax bills
in a Christmas card.
Right? Yes, they will. And this is another collaboration. I met with folks from the city and the county not that long ago, and like we all are taxing entities, and is there a way that we can kind of deliver the same message? And so I believe that we're working. Well, I know that we're working together. Carrie Stoltz, our marketing communications director, is working on sending out a kind of explaining your tax bill that all the entities, the school district, the counties, the townships, and the city can all use. It won't necessarily be part of their tax bill packet. That won't make the mailing, but they will be available at different places. So if people really want to know a little bit more about their taxes and their tax bill and what do all these different numbers mean, there will be a nice resource available. I believe we're going to put it on the district website and the county and the city, I'm hoping, can do the same thing. But I'm excited about that. Obviously, we know that there'll be a little bit of an increase because of the passage of the two referendums from April. However, as I've mentioned in earlier broadcasts, it won't be as big of an increase as we originally anticipated. So hopefully the impact will be less than folks are expecting.
Indeed. It is that time of year again. It's hard to believe.
Yes, it is. Yes,
cutting down on the end of the year here, Steve. Anything else you'd like to add today?
No, it's been fantastic. I appreciate all the support that, you know, WRCO and our local media in general has given, you know, the school district. This provides a great avenue for me to get on the air, let our people know a little bit what's going on. Again, I've tried to be very honest, the good and the bad, right? And we're not perfect. We have a lot of things that we still need to work on. And even the things that we've improved on greatly, we still have a lot of work to continue to do. But it is really a great time to be a Richland Center Hornet. Our community has supported us greatly through the referendum, but then also just in their presence and being visible and being available and attending things is just so important for our community to continue to support our students and our staff. And it's incredible. I'm so fortunate to be part of such a great school district and a great family and a community that I love so dearly. So wish you and your family the best during the holidays and the same to our listeners.
Thank you. We appreciate you too, because I think that transparency is important. You know, you don't want people saying, well, they're holding something from us or whatever. I mean, you're forthcoming on all the info, so we appreciate that.
Thank you. I certainly try to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And the one thing and another a positive just to end is I really like the new sign that's on the back of the softball scoreboard as you drive up your entryway to the high school.
Yeah, I was driving up to a basketball game last night and noticed it. I'm like, that looks pretty good. But also I should point out, if they drive by on Highway 80 to the south, you know, look at the intermediate school signage at night. There's new letters on there. We've got the Richland Middle School letters removed. It now says the Richland Center Intermediate School. It's got a nice backlit to it, as well as the primary school. There's one section at the primary school above the entrance doors that still says Doudna, but that again, we're getting that fixed. But the walls again are nice backlit, and they just look nice. And again, it's promoting our school. It's promoting everybody that drives by there now sees that this is the Richland Center Primary School. This is the Richland Center High School. This is the Richland Center Intermediate School. Constant continuation that we're here, we're making a difference, and we're a great place to be.
All right. Best wishes, Steve.
Thank you.
Richland District Superintendent Steve Board joining us on today's morning show.
It's crunch time at A&W. Our double barbecue bacon crunch burgers are made with a tangy sauce, smoky bacon, and crispy fried onions. And believe us, it tastes even better than it sounds. Try one today, only at A&W.
Always made fresh root beer. Always at A&W. Your A&W restaurant is located on Highway 61 in Boscobel. Stop by soon and enjoy.
At participating restaurants, prices may vary. Tax extra.
Here's a hint. At U.S. Cellular, you can get four free phones and four lines for $90 a month, so you can give your family the gift of connection.
How about the gift of good-smelling soap?
They buy their own soap. They want four free phones.
Maybe I'll get...
four free phones.
Four free phones.
Get four free phones and four lines for $90 a month. U.S. Cellular. Built for us.
Terms apply. Visit cellplus.com for details. Here's another hint. Get $100 towards accessories with each smartphone purchase. Visit your local U.S. Cellular store in Richland Center, Spring Green, and Verona.
Happy holidays from all of the crafters and consigners at the Creative Outlet in Richland Center.
The Richland County Performing Arts Council presents Maggie May's Country Christmas Concert, December 15th at the Richland Center City Auditorium.
It's Christmas time and I can't wait.
Join us for an afternoon of festive fun at Maggie May's Country Christmas Concert. Let's celebrate the season together with some toe-tapping tunes and some great holiday classics. See you there! Get your tickets at eventbrite.com or rcpac.org for Maggie May's Country Christmas Concert at the Richland Center City Auditorium.
On the 11th day of Christmas, Court & Main gave to me 40% off one holiday item, valid only today. Watch out for tomorrow's daily deal.
Hi, it's Carl, wishing you a very Merry Christmas. Here's to good times, great company, and safe travels from all of us here at Bob's Auto Body Collision Specialists.
The calendar brings a change of seasons, so does life. I am Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. We all have a season that we like best and one that is our least favorite. In life, there are also seasons to celebrate and seasons to dread. All of us at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service are committed to serving you during life's difficult seasons so you can look forward to life's brighter days. Our door is always open and your questions are always welcome at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Here's a hint. At U.S. Cellular, you can get four free phones and four lines for $90 a month, so you can give your family the gift of connection.
Okay, but what about the gift of good-smelling soap?
They buy their own soap. They want four free phones.
What if I gave them kitchen tools?
Four free phones.
Well, how about a cozy sweater?
Four free phones.
Maybe I'll get...
four free phones.
Four free phones.
That's how you take a hint. Get four free phones and four lines for $90 a month. U.S. Cellular. Built for us. Terms apply. Visit uscellular.com for details.
Welcome to Pratt Chat. Pratt Chat is a service of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Join us each week for a conversation with Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service for answers to questions that we're all hesitant to ask. Pratt Chat is sponsored by the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Mark Jelenic, let's today talk about winter burial, since we're into the winter season here a little bit. Those do pose some challenges, don't they?
They do pose some challenges. Sometimes people will ask, well, are we going to be able to have a burial for their loved one in the winter? And the answer is, yeah, we can always have a burial for your loved one during the winter time, either if they are in a casket or if they're cremated. So the state of Wisconsin requires that you be allowed to do a burial in the winter. Some cemeteries are a little more restrictive about it, but you have to legally be allowed in the state of Wisconsin to bury in the winter if you would like to bury in the winter. Now, they can pose some challenges based on some of our cemeteries are more on hills. The soil composition might make them a little bit slicker if they're not quite frozen, so they might be a little bit greasy. So for safety, sometimes winter burials can be a little hazardous. A lot of times, though, we can kind of get over any of those hazards, get out there ahead of time, get things cleaned up, make sure there's safe pathways to get to the burial. But sometimes we do wait until spring, either with a cremated remains or sometimes with a casket. Caskets usually we do at the time, but sometimes we'll hold them over for one reason or another. Might be a hard part of the cemetery to get to. Maybe the spouse has a mobility issue and they really want to be able to get them out there. So sometimes we hold off on that. Most of the time on cremated remains, we wait until the spring because there's not a time frame of you really should get this done. So we do a lot of spring burials in like April, May, and June when it warms back up. The other question we get a lot at cemeteries are monuments and engravings. So if your loved one dies right now, they're not going to engrave the death date on the stone until it warms back up. So we still order the engravings, but they're not going to be completed until spring when it warms up for kind of a lengthy period of time, because they don't want to damage the stone, go out there and chip it. They also don't usually set monuments at this time of the year. Now, potentially, if you knew about it ahead of time or ordered your monument ahead of time, the monument company may have went out and already put in the foundation. So if that is the case, they may set your stone during the winter time because the foundation is what is going to potentially move on you. So most of the time, monuments are not set in the winter. They can be, but it's almost a pre-planned event if it's going to potentially happen. But even if you order a monument, let's say today, they're not going to have it ready for a couple of months, so just in time for spring to come anyway. So if you're thinking that you'd like to have a monument out at the cemetery, you know, sometime next year, this would be a great time to visit one of the monument companies, talk to them about it, get it designed so they can get it started, get it made in their shop. So when the ground does unthaw, they can go back out there and get that monument for you in May and June when everything kind of settles down in the earth.
Those that dig the grave, not an easy time in the winter time as well. And what are some steps that they take to be able to get that done, Mark?
Yeah. So digging a grave can pose a challenge in the winter time because, like anyone that goes outside, they know that the ground is frozen. So the frost depth, they have to get through the frozen ground. So what they do most of the time is they actually cook the ground. So what that entails is either gas or charcoal. They'll go out, they'll cover it, they'll light the charcoal, cover it up for the night, come back the next day, and it'll basically bring the frost out of the ground because they'll warm it up. They'll go out there and they'll dig through it. Some gentlemen use jackhammers. If you're by a tree, then they have to get through tree roots, and those aren't fun in the summertime when it's warm. So when they're frozen, it's even worse. But they do have the ability to get into these winter burials. They will get the grave opened. That's why a lot of times for burials in the winter, we say we need at least a 48-hour notice, because we have to be fair to the grave diggers. We have to give them time to get that ground unthawed and to be able to get that grave opened, and also to keep themselves safe as well. We talked about earlier about people being potentially unsafe in a cemetery if it's slippery or anything like that. We also don't want to put the grave diggers in any kind of harm of if we just gave them an extra day to get that ground warm, to get the snow moved, to be sure there's a safe path and everything can be taken care of. So all of these things can be done in the winter. It is a little bit more difficult in some cases, but any of these things can still be done, excluding engraving death dates on stones.
Today's Pratt Chat has been sponsored by the Pratt Funeral